Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nainar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Geographical Pivot of History is a short but foundational work of geopolitical theory by Halford J. Mackinder, first presented in 1904 to the Royal Geographical Society and published in the Geographical Journal. Rather than offering a conventional narrative history, Mackinder proposes a strategic interpretation of world politics based on physical geography, transport technology, and the uneven distribution of continental and maritime power. Its central concern is the Eurasian interior, which Mackinder identified as the geographical pivot around which global power struggles increasingly revolved. The essay is best understood as an early statement of what later became known as Heartland Theory, a framework that influenced 20th century strategic thinking, including debates about Germany, Russia, Eastern Europe, and the balance between land and sea powers. Although brief, the work is significant because it turns geography into a theory of historical causation, asking how mountains, plains, oceans, railways, and resource bases shape the possibilities of empire, conflict, and world dominance. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the closed world system and the end of oceanic expansion. Mackinder wrote at a moment when European imperial expansion had nearly mapped and partitioned the globe. One of his most important claims is that world politics had entered a closed system. Earlier centuries allowed maritime empires to expand outward into newly accessible territories. But by the early 20th century, there were few empty strategic spaces left for great powers to absorb without confronting one another. This changed the logic of international rivalry. In an open system, sea power could project influence along coasts, trade routes, and colonies with relative flexibility. In a closed system, pressure in one region would be transmitted across the whole world because every major territory belonged to an interconnected balance of power. Mackinder, therefore, treats geography not as background scenery, but as the structure within which political action occurs. His argument matters because it shifts attention from local wars or diplomatic events to the global arrangement of landmasses, oceans, and access routes. The essay suggests that modern history could no longer be understood as separate regional stories. Once the world became strategically integrated, the location of a power within the planetary map became a decisive factor in what it could defend, exploit, or threaten. Secondly, the Eurasian pivot as a protected continental core. The most famous element of the work is Mackinder's identification of the Eurasian interior as the pivot area of world history. This region roughly corresponds to the vast inland zone of central and northern Eurasia, historically associated in his analysis with steppe movements and later with the Russian Empire. Mackinder emphasized that this space was difficult for maritime powers to penetrate. It was shielded by distance, ice, mountains, deserts, and the absence of easy navigable access from the sea. At the same time, it possessed immense scale and potential resources. The reasoning is strategic rather than merely descriptive. A continental power occupying this interior could use its depth for defense, its land routes for internal movement, and its resources for long-term power accumulation. Mackinder compared this with sea powers, whose strength depended on maritime mobility, but whose influence weakened as they moved far inland. The pivot concept is therefore a theory of asymmetry. Coastal powers can dominate oceans and littorals, but a sufficiently organized land power in the Eurasian core can remain resistant to naval pressure. This insight gave the essay its enduring importance because it linked physical defensibility with the possibility of large-scale political consolidation. Thirdly, railways and the changing balance between land power and sea power, Mackinder's argument is not simple geographic determinism based only on fixed terrain. A key mechanism in the essay is technological change, especially the rise of railways. For centuries, sea power held a major advantage because ships could move goods, soldiers, and information more efficiently than overland transport. Maritime empires such as Britain benefited from this pattern, using naval reach to influence distant regions and control trade routes. Mackinder argued that railways were weakening this advantage by making continental interiors more accessible to the states that controlled them. Rail transport could connect inland resources, military forces, and markets without relying on vulnerable sea lanes. This was especially important in Eurasia, where a land power could potentially integrate enormous territory behind natural barriers. The point is not that navies ceased to matter, but that land mobility had improved enough to alter the strategic equation. Mackinder saw this as a historical turning point. If railways allowed the Eurasian core to be organized economically and militarily, then a continental empire might gain a level of resilience and reach previously unavailable to inland powers. The essay thus combines geography with infrastructure, showing how technology can activate the strategic potential of terrain. Fourthly, the world island, surrounding crescents, and the strategic role of Eastern Europe. Mackinder's world map divides global politics into large structural zones. The most important is the world island, meaning the combined landmass of Europe, Asia, and Africa. He regarded it as the largest concentration of population, resources, and historical power. Around the Eurasian core lay marginal regions, often described in later interpretations as inner and outer crescents. These included coastal Europe, the Middle East, South Asia, East Asia, offshore islands, and distant maritime powers. This spatial model matters because it explains how control of the continental interior could become a platform for wider dominance. A power secure in the pivot could press outward toward the marginal lands. If it gained the productive and coastal regions around the core, it might combine land depth with access to the seas. Eastern Europe became especially important in Mackinder's later formulation because it was the gateway between the European peninsula and the Eurasian interior. Control there could either contain or enable expansion into the heartland. The logic is concrete. The pivot alone is defensible but partly enclosed. The surrounding crescents contain population, industry, ports, and routes. The greatest danger, in Mackinder's view, was a political combination that joined the protected core with the resources and outlets of the margins. Lastly, enduring influence and the limits of geographic explanation. The geographical pivot of history became influential because it offered a compact model for interpreting great power rivalry across the entire globe. Its ideas shaped later geopolitical debates, including concern over German and Russian power, the strategic importance of Eastern Europe, and the containment of continental expansion during the Cold War. It also influenced later theorists who revised or challenged Mackinder, especially those who emphasized the coastal rimlands rather than the interior core. Yet the essay also has clear limitations. Its strength is abstraction, but abstraction can oversimplify political reality. Geography shapes options, but it does not automatically determine state behavior, institutional capacity, ideology, economics, alliances, or technological adaptation. Air power, nuclear weapons, cyber systems, global finance, and maritime logistics have all complicated the land versus sea framework. The boundaries of the heartland are also not fixed in a timeless way. Their meaning changes with infrastructure, climate, state capacity, and military technology. For modern readers, the work is most useful when treated as a strategic lens rather than a complete theory. It encourages attention to maps, distance, access, and resource concentration, while also requiring supplementation by political, economic, and cultural analysis. The geographical pivot of history is best suited for readers interested in geopolitics, international relations, military strategy, historical geography, and the intellectual origins of 20th century strategic thought. It is also useful for readers trying to understand why Eastern Europe, Central Asia, Russia, and the Eurasian landmass recur so often in discussions of global power. Its practical benefit is not a set of policy prescriptions, but a disciplined way of asking geographic questions. Where are the defensible cores of power? Which regions connect or block access? How do transport systems change the value of land and sea routes? These questions remain relevant even when Mackinder's specific predictions require revision. Intellectually, the work stands out because of its brevity and scale. Unlike broader histories of empire or modern geopolitical surveys, it compresses a global theory into a concise argument centered on the relationship between geography and power. Compared with later geopolitical books, it is less detailed and less sensitive to economics, ideology, and domestic politics, but it is more original as a founding statement. Its importance lies in showing how a map can become an argument about history, strategy, and the structure of world politics. If you would like to support John Mackinder, Halford, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.